Welcome to Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Vic Bhagat back to the broadcast. Vic is Executive Vice President, Enterprise Business Solutions, and Chief Information Officer at EMC Corporation. EMC is a global leader in data storage services and cloud computing. Vic joined EMC in January of 2013 and is responsible for leading EMC's information technology, global centers of excellence, global business services, and indirect procurement organizations. During his more than 20-year tenure at General Electric, Vic served as CIO for multiple GE organizations, including GE Aviation Services, GE Global Growth and Operations, CNBC, GE Corporate, and GE India and Southeast Asia. Along the way, he not only drove the company's IT strategies, but managed large global shared service applications, built a technology center focused on high-end technology and digital solutions, and fueled GE's global innovation, opening numerous centers of excellence focused on big data, digital analytics, and digital strategies. Vic earned his bachelor's degree in information management and marketing from the University of Louisville and a diploma in physics and mathematics from Agra University in India. I recently caught up with Vic by phone in his Boston area office, and our conversation primarily focused on world-class IT Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as Vic reviewed the ways in which he's gotten to know EMC's business and the expanded responsibilities that his CIO plus role entails. Principle 5, external partnerships, as Vic spoke about his perspectives, both managing vendors as well as now being part of a major IT external partner in EMC, as well as a variety of other topics.
The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com.
Well, Vic Bhagat, welcome to the Forum on World Class IT, and I should say welcome back to the Forum on World Class IT. It's so wonderful to speak with you again.
Peter, I'm delighted, and it's wonderful to rekindle, our conversation. It's great to reconnect with you.
Thank you so much. And actually, what's so interesting, of course, Vic, is in this opportunity, we're speaking with you in a new setting after a couple of decades with General Electric and a lot of success in a variety of roles in that esteemed organization. Early this year, in January of 2013, you made the switch over to EMC. And I wonder if you can talk a bit about in the 7 or 8 months that have passed, if you could talk about your new beginning, your first new beginning, at least in a new company in quite some time. How has it gone, and how did you organize yourself with this new opportunity?
Yeah, great question, Peter. And, I had a phenomenal ride at GE, and it was a kind of bittersweet. You had to go through enormous emotional roller coaster when you're kind of making that decision after two decades with a great company like GE. And, you come to a decision point in your career and you say, okay, you're not a job hopper. You've been with a company for so long, and you do a little double take and you say, do you have one more big swing left in you? And I was extremely fortunate that there was enormous chemistry between EMC and I. And I said it was a great move as I got into a technology field, which is what I am excited about. And I love being or playing with technology. So, I've been with EMC now, 6 months? And almost feels like I've been here 6 years or longer. It's just, you have to, kind of, everybody says, you come into a new company, you got to drink through a fire hose, you got to learn. And, how do you adapt to the culture? How do you influence the culture? It's not about changing the culture. It's about how do you become, part of the fabric, and how do you really evolve yourself to extend the capability of the company. So my 6 months that I have spent so far with EMC right now is learning. It's all about learning from the employee's perspective, the business leader's perspective, the customer's perspective, because this is one company that is totally focused on customer satisfaction. We measure ourselves. One of the things that our chairman measures us on a quarterly goal is called TCE, is total customer experience. And, you know, your bonus, your pay is determined by what the customers think about you. And that's extremely refreshing because, you know, these days it's all about growth, it's all about increasing your revenue, it's about penetration. And in that mode, sometimes we forget what does the customer really want. And having that focus, you know, and becoming sensitive to that has been very, very humbling. You know, you have to, you know, lose the chip on your shoulder. And this is what I talk about. You know, I was a buyer, now I am a seller. I was a buyer of technology, now I'm a seller of technology. So you really got to lose that chip on your shoulder and say, really understand and say, what are your customers trying to address? So that's kind of the time I've been spending in the last 6 months. This job that I have just taken over didn't actually exist. So it was created with a collection of a lot of different organization, different verticals within the company to make it into a significant role, which I'm delighted to be part of. And really looking at it saying, how do we have a significant impact on the company's bottom line, top line, and also efficiencies? So that's what I have been doing. You know, long answer to your question, Peter, but my whole focus right now is more about absorbing, learning, and, you know, trying to hit the ground running to really understand, not holding the company back, but also looking at ways how to accelerate its growth.
That's wonderful. And let's talk about the role which you've just mentioned. You're the Executive Vice President of Corporate Services and the CIO. I wonder, could you talk a bit about what is folded into the umbrella of corporate services and the organizations that now report to you, and also the logic, as you point out, that there was no predecessor for these basket of responsibilities. So if you could also tell us a bit about the logic in putting together this set of responsibilities under one executive.
Absolutely. You know, I'll try to do as much justice as I can. I'll give you my flavor of what I understand of what's going on and how UMC kind of got me excited about the role and the company. And I think, you know, one of the key things that's the phenomenon that's happening out in the IT field, if you really look at it, you know, IT is a function within a business that actually understands all the processes. You know, so people will come in, they will actually call on IT and say, hey, how does this, you know, program really work? How does this application really work? Because it's trying to address or automate a certain process. So IT actually understands the end-to-end process. So what the phenomenon that's happening right now is businesses have started leveraging CIOs to be more than a CIO. So it's not a chief information officer. They're looking at it as, can you be my chief innovation officer? And this is not innovation about products and marketing and next generation. You know, it's about how can you help me innovate my, process or my, I was going to say, archaic way of how I used to do business. Bring innovative capabilities and innovative solutions in helping me understand the end-to-end capability. So the end-to-end capability would be order to cash, from the time a customer places the order to the time we collect the cash. How can we turn that into a phenomenal experience for our customer, right? How do we eliminate bureaucracy? How do we eliminate or reduce cycle time? Another one could be NPI, new product introduction. As we introduce new products or solutions in the market, what's the end-to-end process? So as CIOs get more and more leverage, and I think this is what brilliantly what EMC is doing, is looking at it, it's end-to-end processes. So things that are part of my portfolio are centers of excellence, which kind of do product development. I have GBS, which is Global Business Services, that does all of the massive activity involved in collections, in pre-sales, in finance, in HR, you know, a lot of the activities that happen, not recruiting people, but all the activities that take part of giving an employee an excellent experience as they join the company. So those things. And then I have IT, which is your basic, you know, providing the necessary support, driving process excellence, automation. And the other thing that I've also included as part of my portfolio is indirect procurement as we buy these services. Now, the unique thing about EMC is, you know, we buy and we also sell. So our partners are not only our suppliers, but they are also our customers. So they consume our products and solutions where we also consume their services and their products. So we have to maintain that relationship and balance of trade, right? So that kind of became my portfolio. So the four things, I have centers of excellence or product development, I have IT, I have global business services, and I have indirect procurement. And we see a lot of that happening in larger enterprises where the CIOs are being asked or being challenged and saying, help us drive a more savvy way to conduct our business by driving simplification, by driving process excellence that can help us grow our business, or that can help us enable innovation. You know, how can we create more bandwidth? So that's my answer to your question, and I think you will see a lot more of that happening if you haven't, you know, you've already experienced that in the IT field where CIOs are now being tapped into lead more than just IT.
That's wonderful, and what a great example of it. And harking back to an earlier comment of yours, Vic, you joined the company as a former partner, as a former customer of EMC, which I'm sure provides you a wealth of experiences from having been the buyer, as you pointed out, before now being the seller. And what did you bring from that experience at GE, having been on the other side of the table in transactions to EMC, now that you are now selling their services, now that you are facilitating those and building stronger bonds in those partnerships?
You know, when I used to deal with EMC or any of my partners when I was part of the buying spree at GE, I used to always advise them. I said, don't be my supplier or my vendor, because if all I'm doing is buying boxes from you and I'm going to beat you up on price, then it's just about dollars and cents. Change the relationship to be my partner. Understand what are the key initiatives I'm trying to drive, and say, how can you have a major impact on that and accelerate my ability to lead and implement that change? So put some skin in the game. When I feel the pain, you feel the pain. Because if I'm feeling the pain and you feel the gain, there's something wrong with the equation. Because when I feel the gain, you're going to feel the gain as well. That's the level of partnership it needs to evolve into. And that's kind of what I bring. So as I come into the role now to a seller role, I'm looking to understand what are my peers really challenged with outside as they are trying to transform IT. You know, let's not go there and just try to sell them a box of goods. Let's figure out what is it that you are trying to address. If you're trying to address a simplified cloud architecture, or if you are trying to address big data or analytics, how can we put skin in the game from we, and I mean from EMC, to help you accelerate your ability to deliver to your business? That's how you have to change the game. This is not about just selling brown boxes and saying, okay, you know, I just want to sell you five boxes this quarter, or, you know, so this is long-term engagement where we have to help them drive that transformation. So that's the level of thinking that I hope I can bring into this organization.
That's great. Also, Vic, to what extent are you internally now a customer of EMC's services, the extent to which you're now engaging with external partners and becoming so customer-centric, which is really, I think, the appropriate destination for all CIOs? The average ones certainly are not there yet. How much now are you able to speak as a representative of EMC, not only as a past buyer of its services, but even as sort of a current client of EMC, so to speak, simply from a chair and an office within the corporate structure? Can you talk a bit about the way in which you can represent yourself that way as well?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, if you really look at, you know, what EMC provides, EMC is a provider of solutions, and our focus is on cloud, big data, all built on trust. You know, so these are the model that we have that is horizontal and that cuts across the industry. So it's about things that we have from a storage, virtualization, software-defined capability for your data center or your network, you know, leveraging VMware and our storage capacity, with Pivotal looking at all the big data analytics, and RSA providing that level of trust. So when you look at a bigger picture, Peter, of what IT is really trying to do, IT for a business is really trying to enable that business to grow by automating processes, by making information available to their enterprise anywhere, any place, anytime, any device, right? How do we do that in a more organized, faster, better, cheaper, trusted way? Okay. So given that challenge, right, and that's the space that EMC is in, my challenge and my opportunity is that I have to leverage all of the products and solutions internally. Because if I go to a customer and I go to a company XYZ, or even if I go to GE and I start talking to them and say, hey guys, we can help build your cloud, whether it's your internal or external or hybrid cloud, built on a trusted framework. The question I get asked is, do you have it? Have you built it? And I say, yes, I have. Well, how have you built it? Are you using your products? So this is the proverbial thing that you come back with and say, am I eating my own dog food? Which I'd rather say, I'm drinking my own champagne. I'd rather say that because the experience that I want to deliver to a customer has to be world-class. And that has to be based on the results that are proven, that shows that I am drinking my own champagne and I'm willing to share.
Vic, with a group that is as diverse as yours is, under the title of corporate services as well as IT, how do you think about the strategic planning process? And to what extent do you bake in that process a greater degree of collaboration across the traditional silos that are now united under your leadership?
Yeah. It's theoretically, it's easy to say. There's a lot of synergy. We can get everybody to work together, sing kumbaya. But in practice, right, you have to put the right vehicle, the right process in place. You have to make sure that people, leaders are providing their thought leadership, that they are bringing in ideas that are much more global than very centric to what they're comfortable with. Okay, so the strategic planning that has to go into place is, most of my leadership team is a well-rounded leadership team. They are, they've been in this industry long enough. They have been in this company long enough, so they get it. But my challenge is to make sure that they are thinking broader, that they are not just thinking about just their silo of IT or just their silo of GBS, but I have to get them to think much broader. So what I have done is, I brought the whole team together, my key leadership team together, and say, given this new team, we ought to start with what's really our mission. What are we about? So you have to rally the team about and saying, we have to have a common mission. All of us have duties to perform. All of us have significant challenges that we got to go over and create those opportunities. But what's our unifying mission? And our unifying mission is extremely simple. It's about accelerating EMC's global growth, okay, by driving simplification, optimizing business productivity, and enabling world-class innovation. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to be in conflict with where the business is headed. So you don't want to say by driving innovation, because if you're driving innovation, then the product guys are going to say, hey, what am I, chopped liver? Right? My job is to drive innovation as well. So what you want to do is you want to be in sync with the business and say, yes, you are going to drive innovation, but I'm going to provide you the bandwidth. I'm going to enable world-class innovation. So it has to be in sync. So again, coming back to, your question is how do you drive that? You have to build that synergy. You have to be in lockstep with the business. You cannot be in direct conflict with the business and say, that I'm going to go against your vision, what you're trying to do. And at the topmost is how do you provide that world-class experience to your customers? That's where the leadership team has to understand that this is about providing that capability to our customers because they are the ones that are going to deliver growth for us. Because if the customers aren't there, we're not going to exist.
Exactly. And it seems to me, Vic, that what you're enabling is a greater set of opportunities for 1 + 1 = 3, to take different opportunities from across the organization and think about it more broadly and more deeply than was enabled in the past way of doing things, where the organization, whether it's EMC or other large organizations, think of themselves as siloed businesses, never necessarily to meet
cross business unit, cross function. Is that a fair recap?
Right. And no, absolutely, because the enterprise these days don't have the patience for 1 + 1 = 2, right? Because that's your traditional ERP methodology, right? You can go to your CEO and say, yeah, I can implement this ERP. It's going to take 4 to 5 years. You know, these days, CEOs will, you know, walk you out of their office if you come back with that kind of, exactly, they don't have the patience. Businesses are looking for instant gratification. And this is the first time in my career where I am actually witnessing all different trends converging at the same time, right? I've been in the industry 30 plus years, and I've gone through mainframes to distributed computing, to intelligent terminals, to PCs, to EDI, to, you know, B2B, B2C, .com, you know, but all of them were either single or dual trends. But if you look at it now, the phenomenon right now, Peter, is incredible. You got cloud, you got big data, you got analytics, right? You got social, you got mobile, you got digital, you got security, all of them converging at the same time. This is a phenomenal time for IT to show that it can deliver. And if we don't, then shame on us. We got nobody to point the finger at.
For others who would hope to follow in your footsteps to become what I've referred to as a CIO plus, what sort of advice would you have for them if they're currently CIOs or a degree removed, but their sights are to have a broader set of responsibilities like yours? How would you dial back into your own experiences and draw from it some advice that you would suggest that they use in order to follow in your footsteps?
I think start focusing on, or actually not focusing, but leveraging your experience and your knowledge about business to drive innovative culture. Leverage the trends. I'll use some drastic words like blow up the traditional way of thinking. The traditional way of thinking from an IT organization is you got a CIO, then you got CTO, you got the application guy, you got your network guy, you got your data warehouse person, you got your services. You know, that's a traditional way. You ought to look at it and say, how do you organize your IT and think contemporary? By contemporary, I mean, you know, there's one organization. That's the company's organization. How do you align to that? And then how do you leverage the trends that exist in the marketplace to change that behavior in the organization, right? That's where the innovative thought leadership has to come in. That's where the business leader will recognize that you are a much bigger than an IT player, that you understand the business, you understand our processes, whether it's the front-end process or even the back-end process, you understand the end-to-end process. And this is where the CIOs then get tagged and say, you know what? We actually want you to own much bigger than just IT. We want you to help us deliver growth. We want you to be front-end facing. We want you to be part of our customer advisory group. That's how you change the game that you want to play in. But if you keep your blinders on, you think traditional way, and you know all of, you know, the example that I talked about, the ERP implementation, that everything is going to take 4 or 5 years, it's not going to work. And don't look at, you know, it's okay to fail multiple times, but be quick successions. Quick failures are good, because don't look at it as a failure. Look at it as a learning capability. So if you have failed 10,000 times, don't look at 10,000 failures. Look at it as it's the 10,000 ways I couldn't do that thing, but there's got to be a better way to do it. Quick failures are going to help you accelerate your delivery and give people instant gratification if that's what they're looking for. Don't hold them back and saying, you got to give, you know, your firstborn to even get access to my network. Make it easy.
That's certainly sage advice, Vic. Thank you so much for sharing your insights on the Forum on World Class IT, Vic. It's wonderful to hear from you and to hear the excitement in your voice with this new opportunity and to learn a little bit more about the ways in which you are parlaying that into greater value for your company and for your customers. It's great to speak with you again, Vic.
Peter, delighted, and thanks for giving me the opportunity again.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat is a catalyst in communities of customers, contributors, and partners creating better technology the open source way. Connect to an ecosystem of innovation at redhat.com today to learn more. We'll be right back. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World-Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World-Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.